Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke, Luke's crazy.
Luke, the force is strong with you.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Oh, welcome everybody to another version of Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, that's Luke. Happy, happy Cinco de Mayo, happy Revenge of the Fifth, happy Friday Eve, and happy Thursday to all. I'm pretty sure it is Thursday.
I think it's Thursday, but nobody can tell me this isn't a margarita in my water bottle.
And no one can tell me that this isn't coffee, but it's really coffee in my... Now you've messed me up. I missed an opportunity here, and I really think I should have capitalized on it. Can we start the day over again? We start the show over, everybody?
Yeah, just go back to bed. We'll start over.
We'll just keep going. It's fine. All right, you're listening to me in Waukesha, WAUK 540 AM, as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. You're listening to Luke over there in Madison on 1580 AM. WTTN as well as 92.7 FM. That's Devil Radio. You can check us out on the Devil Radio app. You can also check us out on Dueling Tangents on Twitter. And if you can't find us otherwise, you're really not trying or not listening. So give us a call, 844-967-2789. You can call or text anytime. And those are all the information I have for right now. We have a special guest today. You want to introduce, Luke?
Yeah, I'm really excited to be joined again this afternoon by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. And Dan's got a number of pieces that I wanted to invite him on to talk about this afternoon because, Brian, Dan's cranking out some terrific work over as an independent journalist, but he's got some partnerships that we want to talk about as well and some on-the-ground work coming from some of the articles that he had published earlier as well. So, Dan, welcome to the show. How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing well, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, excited to be joined by you. And really the first one I want to kick off on, and we were going to have you on earlier this week, but some of the news breaking nationally and then here in the state of Wisconsin kind of kicked back this appearance a little bit. But we've got an update on the Stadium Highway Project in Milwaukee, Highway 175. What can you share with us from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and the county and city event that took place yesterday, talking about where those plans are going?
Yeah, there was a big announcement on Milwaukee's west side of Washington Park yesterday, where we had the Secretary of the State Department of Transportation, Craig Thompson, joined local leaders, County Executive David Crowley, and Mayor Cavalier Johnson, to announce that there would be a new study to reimagine the future of the Stadium Freeway, State Highway 175, which is about a 1.5 mile stretch of freeway that is north of the stadium interchange. So this project is something that we've written quite a bit about at the Recombobulation Area. It was part of our Expanding the Divide series from last year on the proposed expansion of the freeway here in Milwaukee. And one of the things that I wrote at the time was that we need to take a look, take a step back and re-examine this project, particularly how it connects to this freeway. And how this freeway is or isn't serving this side of town. And what we're having now is a pretty dynamic collaboration between, state, city, and county. We don't always see that in Wisconsin and in the Milwaukee area, but we're having a pretty remarkable collaboration here to take a look at the future of this freeway. And I think, the ultimate goal being converting this freeway to a boulevard. To reconnect some of these neighborhoods that have been unnecessarily divided by this unnatural highway dividing line.
Can you talk about more, a little bit more about how freeways divide communities? Because one of the most glaring examples I've seen, I lived in Chicago for a while, the south side, the I-94 going up basically cut off the south side from two different neighborhoods, and you basically drive through
what could have been a wonderful neighborhood. But then you go to the north side and it's all open and wonderful and you can see and everything's connected underneath. It just seems like a divide. Can you talk a little bit more about dividing lines and what that really means?
Yeah, I think historically, you know, this happens, you know, in many of these cities that are often characterized as the most segregated in the country, you have these highways cutting through black and brown communities. And in Milwaukee, we have a couple examples of that. You have, you know, when I-43 was built in the 50s and 60s, it cleared out tens of thousands of homes, and the majority of those homes were owned by black residents of the city. So the impact of doing that, it still lingers. And with the stadium freeway as well, I think you see how, you know, that initially when that was built in the 50s and 60s, it was built to connect to some other freeways that ultimately, you know, after protests in the city were halted. So this freeway that we're talking about reimagining was designed to stretch all the way up to Ozaukee County to connect to the Park East and Park West freeways that were going to cut through the city of Milwaukee. So it ultimately never connected to anything. And if you look at, you know, demographics on either side of this freeway, any direction really, you know, you see that to the west of the freeway is a majority white neighborhoods, and to the east of the freeway is majority black neighborhoods, or actually some of the most integrated neighborhoods in the city of Milwaukee. And you see how, you know, how this highway is kind of stands in the way of stitching these neighborhoods together. You know, it's the highway runs right along Washington Park, which is one of the city's best parks, and is an Olmsted Park and is being celebrated for that this year and as part of that anniversary. And the western border of that park is just a cliff that goes straight down to a freeway, where it could, you know, have better connections to the very residential neighborhoods of Washington Heights and Sherman Park and some of the other neighborhoods that are to the west and to the north of this freeway. So I think, you know, as David Crowley and as Cavalier Johnson talked about at the press conference yesterday, the goal of converting this freeway and the goal of this study is to really address that segregation that this highway has, you know, has reinforced in these neighborhoods.
Yeah, and so yes, earlier this week's news, the announcement of this study is a good first step. But where do we go from here now, Dan? What are the next steps beyond announcing of this study?
Well, I think the next step is the public process of it, and I think, you know, as part of, they said this study would cost about $2-3 million, and it would last for the next about year and a half. So they really want to engage the neighbors and really want to get this right. And I think it's going to be really important for the DOT, for the county, for the city, to really be out there and talking to people in these neighborhoods and see what people really want to this side of the city to be. Because as things connect, you know, there's opportunities.
And about those opportunities, like, you know, we're talking about turning basically a freeway into a boulevard. Now, you think, okay, it's still a delivery service for traffic into American Family Field, right? But you also forget that, you know, turning into a boulevard opens up business opportunities for the side of that boulevard. You can go and have shops up and down the street. Imagine, I mean, one of the cool things about going to American Family Field is that you can tailgate and things like that, but there's really not much else around there. If you have an actual boulevard going into there, that leads opportunities for businesses to open up, and you can have maybe something like akin to a Wrigleyville, or like, you know, even the south side of Chicago is doing. A lot of neighborhood,
you don't even have to
baseball
look,
parks.
You don't have to look at Chicago, though. You can look right at the Pfizer Forum, not too far from the AmFam Fields, to the Deer District that is developed outside of the Pfizer Forum.
People go there when the games are on the road.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so there definitely seems to be some opportunities there. And so what kind of public comments are we going to be talking about here, Dan? Are we thinking the Department of Transportation is going to be working with both the county and city in this kind of unprecedented coordination? Or where do we expect to see, where should the public be interested in sharing their input?
You know, that we're still at the very early stages of that, and I think it's going to be important for a lot of the neighborhood groups and the business improvement districts that we have in this area to be active in this conversation. You know, and just to go off something that you mentioned there about the Bucks Arena, you know, that the arena is built in the former Park East space, and the arena and the Deer District are in the footprint of what was once a highway. And so we have an example right in the city of removing an unnecessary freeway spur and opening that area up for development. Now, it took a while. There was a recession there that kind of held up some of that, but ultimately they got it right. And they got it right with this arena. They got it right with the Deer District. And now it's, you know, a worldwide phenomenon. And I think when you look at American Family Field, and you know, some of the adjacent neighborhoods there, you know, that's not exactly the best part of seeing a game there. It's not that the neighborhood around it is you know, is not like what we see downtown and what we see with a lot of newer developments with stadiums and the like. So I think that there's room for improvement there, and I think reexamining what this highway would be. Along with some of the other, you know, issues that that are in that kind of West Milwaukee Stadium interchange, American Family Field area, there's a lot of opportunity there. And then I think people are starting to recognize that, you know, that it is ripe for change.
Yeah. Heck, even having a wonderful, giant, big party store going in on the, like, tailgate supply store, just be just a good startup, at least. If nothing else, I mean, come on. There's so much available space as well. It's kind of like a dead zone somewhat around there.
Yeah, we could definitely have an excellent tailgate zone that people don't need cars for. Members of the community could come tailgate and then head on into the stadium from there.
Imagine living around there and then walking to the stadium.
Oh,
wow.
It sounds nice. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're joined this afternoon by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. We're talking about reimagining Highway 175 near Milwaukee. We are also taking your calls this hour, 844-967-2789, and a couple of another piece that Dan's been working on as well coming up this next segment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We have good roads in this state, and I hear that from people all the time. They say, I don't know what the heck they're talking about.
Trailer for sale or rent.
Oh, yeah.
Rooms to let.
Every time I hear this, I think of Super Dave Osborne.
No phone,
and he's
no pool,
playing this on a
no
on a big grand piano in the back of a trailer, and
no
it goes under a low overpass and just completely knocks him out. It's really funny. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got our special guest on the Zoom with us. It's a telecommunication device, either way. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. We've been talking about the proposal, basically, to go and turn I-75 into a boulevard going into AmFam Field. But that's not the only bunch of information Dan has. You have a new article out, 12 Ways to Save Democracy. Talk to me.
No. 12 nope. months, Brian.
12 months. I'm sorry.
We've got 12 months to restore.
I literally just
democracy.
Read a book called 12 Ways to. It doesn't matter. I'm confusing myself. let's not confuse the audience. Dan, why don't you tell us about your how can we save ourselves because we have a year left before we all die, right?
No, you made me nervous there for a second. You tightened up the timeline on us. All of a sudden, we had to do this in a couple months where I thought we had a whole year to work on some of these races. Now we But 12 months. I wrote a piece for Heartland Signal, and the Recombobulation Area is partnering with Heartland Signal on some content going forward. They cover a lot of things around the Midwest, and one of the things that I wrote about here was, you know, how it's not just the midterms that Wisconsin has to vote to restore democracy in this state, but it's also the spring state Supreme Court election that is coming now less than a year away. So I think, you know, what I talked about in the piece was how the recent redistricting decision, I think, was a recalibrating moment for Wisconsin politics, and recognizing that, you know, had a state Supreme Court race gone differently by about 6,000 votes, we might be in a different space right now with the, you know, with the state legislature, with the balance of power in the state. And so we're in a tricky spot right now, but I think, you know, there's opportunity in front of us. And I think it's really important to recognize this, not just as the midterms, but as these next 12 months to really get in that fight to restore democracy in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think it's important to think that the framing around these next 6 and 12 months can't just be you get to the polls and you vote and then you're done. Because I honestly think that that's one of the other the bigger problems as well, is thinking that the next election is going to be what saves us and then you can stop paying attention after that. And I think it's a pretty good example that the Hagedorn election in the spring of 2019 showing Democrats had won 11 out of the last 12 statewide elections. That's the one they lost here in the state of Wisconsin. They lost one out of 12, and it completely shifts the fact that we are not going to have anything that resembles quote-unquote fairer maps, I guess, because they weren't even fair maps. They were still maps of least change. They were still just a derivative of the most gerrymandered maps in the nation from the 2011 maps that Robin Voss drew behind closed doors. And because of that one election out of 12, there's still we're not going to see necessarily an even playing field to even fight on, because these maps for the state legislative districts, the state assembly, state senate districts are pretty slanted Republican, or even more slanted Republican than the current set of maps. So I think that that's fascinating. And tell us a little bit more about the partnership that our listeners can hear from your work and find your work with Heartland Signal.
Yeah, Heartland Signal works with WCPT out of Chicago. So I will be on the air there once a week with Patty Vasquez at in the 5 o'clock hour. And I'll also be contributing some pieces there as well. If you're not familiar, they have Heartland Signal is they go viral all the time mm-hmm. on Twitter. They are really good at finding clips of elected officials, saying some rather ridiculous things. Like we have our senior senator in Wisconsin here, our friend Ron Johnson, who, you know, just gave validity the other day to a anti-vax conspiracy theorist who was saying that the COVID vaccine gives you AIDS. So, you know,
solid science.
The science just isn't out on it. That's all the senator was saying. He was just merely saying, man, we got to look into it more because
he's just asking questions.
Yeah,
right?
He's just always asking questions.
There's also not science proving that he isn't some sort of mummified human that is brought back from the dead. Nobody really can tell.
We got to research it more. We got to research it.
We're just asking questions.
Yeah. I'm just asking questions. Is he a White Walker? Is he not? Should we, burn him with fire? I don't know. I don't know these things. We just need to. I don't want to do it without knowing. That's all I'm saying. You mentioned opportunity. Obviously, we have an opportunity to go against to replace Ron Johnson these midterms and things like that. But statewide, what kind of opportunity? We've been talking about the gerrymandered maps, but what kind of opportunities do we still have? I mean, look, obviously, the Roe v. Wade decision is going to be huge for everybody and maybe fire up a lot of people. What opportunities do you see in these last 2 minutes here? What are you looking at?
Well, I'll point out one down ballot type of race here, which is the race for Secretary of State that's going to be on the ballot this fall. Which is, we saw a top Republican in the legislature leave her post to go run for Secretary of State because, as the Republicans have signaled, they want people in partisan offices running elections in Wisconsin. So Doug La Follette is running for re-election. He's going to have a primary challenge from a Democrat from Dane County. And that's going to be a really important race to pay attention to. It's every election matters. I think that's what the Hagedorn decision really showed us, is that you can't ignore any of these. You have to be engaged in all of them. I think it's going to be not only the governor's race and the senator's race with Ron Johnson on the ballot that's going to attract a lot of attention, but it is those swing districts in the state legislature. It's the Secretary of State, and it is going on into the state Supreme Court race next spring.
Yeah. So yeah. a lot to pay attention to, but those are some really important ones. As always, Dan, really appreciate all the work you're doing. Quickly here, what's the best way for our listeners to find out more of your work?
You can subscribe to the Recombobulation Area on Substack. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Dan R. Schaefer, where I'm probably tweeting about the Bucks.
There we go. Bucks and six. Going to be
Bucks and six.
Yeah. Good game three coming up on Saturday afternoon. Dan, really appreciate you joining us this afternoon. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're taking your calls in the upcoming segments. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Welcome back, everybody. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, that's Luke. I'd like to thank our most recent guest, Dan Schaefer, the Recombobulation Area. I really like that dude. And this guy's got a lot of information, and if you want to know in depth as to how things work and how those projects go down, and a lot about the ins and outs of civil projects in Wisconsin in general, then Dan Schaefer's the guy to go to.
Yeah, he's been keeping an eye on that stadium freeway reimagination and being a driving force behind it. Another individual that was a driving force behind it, State Rep Evan Goyke as well. So yeah. Goyke was at the event yesterday and has been talking about fixing the harm that was done by putting that freeway where it is. And so the reimagination of that is going to do, I think, wonders for the community. And it'll be really exciting to keep an eye on that project as it continues to develop at both the city, county, and statewide level. Yeah, Brian, our guests this week are just letting us know that every single election is important everywhere, both Dan Schaefer and Annalise Eicher earlier this week.
Folks, it's called We the People for a reason.
Yes.
And democracy doesn't work unless we the people are really we the people, because it can't be like, man, but her emails, so I'm just going to sit over here. Yeah. Man, nothing bad will happen. They're all the same anyway.
Yeah, the 2019 Supreme Court race. Who cares? What is it? What difference is that going to make?
Difference will matter? Lisa Neubauer didn't come around the devils too much, so I just don't like her that much. She didn't come around and say hi to people nice. She didn't try hard enough. I'm just going to go and let the crazy right wing guy go. It doesn't matter. I bet you people didn't even know who either Neubauer or Hagedorn.
I would say I have a feeling
that was a
really
close race, and that was nobody showed up for that one.
Right, the voter turnout in that one was way lower than it should have been, but it had consequences. And a little update from a guest earlier this week, Annalise Eicher. She announced that she is running for the 46th Assembly District here on the east side of Madison, kind of right where our WTTN 92.7 FM signal originates in the Sun Prairie, Cottage Grove, east side of Madison area. So Annalise, I kind of teased her about it. I was like, well, why didn't you announce that when you're on the show with us? And she's like, I was waiting until Wednesday. It was Intergalactic Star Wars Day. She had a great Rogue One quote to go with her announcement. And so she has entered that Democratic primary to go after the seat that is previously held by retiring State Representative Gary Hebel. So best of luck to Annalise in that primary and all the great candidates that are announcing up and down the ballot, because it's important. Like they're all saying, Annalise, Dan, they're saying every election is important. We got to be paying attention to all of them and elect good people up and down the ballot.
You mentioned a good person who's elected, and that's Evan Goyke. He's pretty much signed on to almost anything that, if you want to talk about good legislation, Evan Goyke's probably signed on to it. That's pretty much the best I can tell you. Let's go to the phones. Let's see what Mark from the SAC has to say. How you doing, Mark?
Doing okay. Interesting you talking about the freeway. I just saw a thing on the socialists in Milwaukee, the success that they had in bringing, making Milwaukee a first-class city that had won all sorts of awards back in the day, that even though it may or may not have declined. It's still a wonderful city, but how he thought, they're putting the freeways in, he thought it was a good idea. The last socialist mayor thought it was a good idea, but then he saw what damage it did, and he said it was just a bad idea to have that freeway, cutting through right through a neighborhood. But to get back to, you know, the whole election thing and the topic of the day that is on everybody's lips, but there's more than just that. I mean, Samuel Alito must not have actually read the Constitution, because apparently he penned that unless it's enumerated in the Constitution, the right doesn't exist.
But then he referenced somebody who wrote before the Constitution even existed.
And failed to acknowledge the Ninth Amendment as well.
Yeah, the whole Ninth Amendment. But part of the reason some of the framers were opposed to the Bill of Rights because they saw it as a danger, because they saw the enumeration of those rights might have been limiting to the rights that people actually have. And on the whole Supreme Court, the Roe versus Wade thing, that any of these Republicans should be queried at this point in time now whether they favor the laws that apparently give support to rapists' families being able to sue to protect the product of the rape, that unless they're willing to condemn that, they're just label them as pro-rape. I mean, I'm just, you know, I hate to say it, but I mean, you know, double damn them for this nonsense they're pulling out.
I got you, Mark, and I'm hesitant to do that myself, just because, I mean, look, it's a thing to pull out when you're in an argument and you're in a rage type of thing and you just want to shove it in someone's face and whatnot, but I hesitate to do that because they do the same thing to us. They label us baby killers as if that's the whole reason why we want choice in the first place. And if you listen to any of our reasoned arguments as to what it is, you'll know what the issue is. And that's for me, if you're going to go and say we're using their same tactics against them, and I totally get that and I totally understand that. I'm just saying I'm not necessarily sure that that's the best tack to go around, especially with folks who get so provoked and triggered at the merest drop of a hat. And sometimes a lot of those people are deadly, because on this whole thing, the people who have terrorized folks the most are the ones on the right. So again, be careful the badger you poke, but again, I'm not saying let's be afraid of them. Let's just go at them with more intelligent things than calling them rapists. I don't know if intelligent is the way, less intelligent is the way that I want to phrase it, but I'm lacking words here.
Well, the hard part here, Brian, is that a lot of people on the pro-life side of this argument that are excited about the way that this Supreme Court draft opinion is shaping up this issue, they're also, for lack of a better term, whitewashing history. They're saying, come on, why are you outraged? Why are you in the streets marching? Why are you screaming your heads off for some of the more liberal pundits on television? Why are you in such a tizzy? And they're whitewashing the fact that pro-life activists and supporters murdered doctors throughout the 1970s and 80s, 90s, and 2000s.
Like, the pro-life people are calling for the death penalty.
They are so pro-life in Louisiana. People. Yeah, Brian, it is an excellent point. They are so pro-life in Louisiana that the Republican Party of Louisiana, the day after the Alito draft opinion leaked, they put forth a proposal to list abortion as murder. And the penalty for murder is the death penalty in the state of Louisiana.
Because
they are
so
pro-life in the state of Louisiana that they will kill you over it. That is how pro-life they are.
I would go with the whole, okay, you ban abortions. Okay, let's say your daughter doesn't want to have the child that she's forced to bear, but she bears that child. Would you feel comfortable putting that child in the foster care system right now? Would you feel comfortable putting a child up for adoption? Would you feel comfortable putting any child of your family's into the foster care system?
Yeah.
Because that's where a lot of these kids will end up.
There was a concurrent opinion in the draft Alito piece from Justice Amy Coney Barrett that literally says the safe haven laws are so good around the nation now that you can just drop off. If you don't want to actually raise the child that you were forced to bring to term through what would happen if Roe v. Wade was overturned, safe haven laws are strong enough everywhere that you can just drop them off at a fire department, a library, a hospital, and you don't have to worry about the burden of actually raising the kid.
Well, one, who pays for the hospital bill? Are you going to do that? Because let's say it's somebody who can't afford even, let's say, health care, and let's say they just don't have it. So the state's going to assume that cost anyway for their hospital bill. Okay. And then the state's going to assume the cost for the child to go through the foster care system. And again, I know some really amazing foster care parents. I'm good friends with one. She was just asked to take a newborn and from the same person who placed another child with her last year. And she could not take the newborn. She didn't have the would not have been fair, but she, within maybe 24 hours had a whole bunch of people lined up ready to go and take the newborn, but there's not even a service for that. There's like you could, if you wanted a new car, you can find one used and sell it. If you want to go and get a ride from here to frickin' Hawaii, there's somebody who can go and figure out. There's apps you can use to figure out how to get yourself all the way to Hawaii on the spur of the moment if you wanted to. But there's no websites to connect people legally for foster families and things like that. It's insane how little support the actual support system that we need to sustain what we're going to do here, if we're going to overturn Roe, that's the tack we need to go at these people with.
Well,
is what have you done to support the system that you're going to this entire group of people you're going to create now? You're adding more people to our society, which okay, how is this going to work?
But hang on, Brian. It's forcing women not to have the autonomy over their bodies.
I get you. They've already moved beyond that argument. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair. And they have moved beyond that argument. And I really wanted to play George Carlin's whole opening bit about this, Brian, because I think it sums it up pretty well, because it dives into these other aspects then. Fine, after birth, you can't be pro-life and then be anti-making sure that child care is affordable. You can't be pro-life and then insist to defund public schools. You can't be pro-life and then and take a number of the Republican views on societal issues because you're not there to help the people that need the assistance after you have forced them to come to term with the pregnancy. And it is shocking to me that we are where we are right now and that we are going to have these conversations, and these are very difficult conversations. Uh-huh. And the fact that there is, I referred to it as the dog catching the car earlier.
Yeah.
The Republican Party does not know what to do now that it is the car that caught and bit onto the bumper, because they've been chasing turning over Roe v. Wade for more than four decades now. And the actual consequences of what this draft leaked opinion will be if it becomes actual case law is just tremendous.
Yeah, I don't even think they've even taken a second to think about enforcement. You might say, oh yeah, somebody deserves the death penalty for that. Okay, well, how do you establish proof of that? How do you find this out? How do you look through it? How do you investigate this? How do you get, is it Texas where you know vigilante, you know, jerks just calling in on a hotline? How does this work? On top of that, what are the consequences for the man? What are the consequences for the male involved? Any? Are there any? Is it all on the physician? Is it all on the woman? Like, none of, I don't see any of this discussed. They want to punish so badly, but they have no means for execution on this. You know, I'm going to completely switch subject, but another hot topic is immigration. Sure, you can say, oh, I don't like them coming here illegally and things like that, and whatever you believe in that, I disagree with you, but because your family came here illegally, I'm pretty sure that your family name is not the same family name they came over here with, but I guess that's legal, right? Anyway, point being, how are you going to get them out? Are you going to go door to door? How does that look? What's the mechanism for actually having this happen? How is this actually ever going to be enforced? You know, you have the majority of the United States that doesn't agree with this abortion. People think that abortion should be legal. A majority of people in the United States.
Both in Wisconsin and the U.S.
And there's several states that are saying that our attorney general says that if that happens, he's not going to prosecute. So what effectively have you done other than say, hey, we're a bunch of chest-beating jerks? But again, the will of the people will out eventually. Because even if you turn it back, the attorney general here that we elected said, don't care.
Yeah, well, Republicans want a government so small that they can drown it in a bathtub, but so large that they can regulate more than 50% of the bodies here in our country.
Last I checked, our government was about 300 million strong.
And we the people are the government. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got one more segment left in the day. Plenty of time for your phone calls. 844-967-2789. We got Matt from Mount Horeb texting in, Brian, saying pro-life was originally anti-death penalty, but the right co-opted it and put it onto this cause. So that's really
kind of how they did that with everything. It's funny how they did that with Christianity, how Christianity is now about shooting people with guns.
Somehow. That's how a lot of them view it as. Folks, one more segment left in the day. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Who wanted the chicken cross the road?
The guy from the left to the right. Huh.
He stepped out of rank, got hit by a tree.
He ain't no chicken no more. No.
Man, all these road songs, they have long intros. We got time to get, we got to get into these things. There we go, now we're talking. Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, that's Luke.
Last time I checked. Yeah, we are on the road again.
I want to sum up what we've just been talking about a little bit here. I found a great, just a little quick rundown here. So let's recap. Sex ed is discouraged. Birth control is impossible to access. Abortion and miscarriage are considered felonies. And felons can't vote. Okay. Just a little
thing. I saw that circulating on social media, too.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Great. Great stuff, guys. You're listening to us today on WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha, as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. I'm Madison. You're listening to us on 1580 AM. That's WTTN, as well as 92.7 FM, Devil Radio. You can check us out on the Devil Radio app or give us a call, 844-967-2789. I don't know where you want to go next, Luke, but I have a fun thing that I have just come across. And I think it's something that everyone should encourage. I would encourage everyone to just at least check out, especially if you are of the, lefty-leaning variety. Because I don't know if you like, listen to the crazy rights or anything like that, like Ron Johnson. But whenever somebody talks about the left or any of the left's ideas, they really like to put it into some sort of, stupid context like this.
Don't ask me to get inside the mind of a liberal progressive socialist Marxist.
What do you even mean by that?
No, he's just saying buzzwords. He's got a list of buzzwords that he needs to make sure he labels the other side as, and that's what the senior senator from Wisconsin throws out there then.
Yeah. So I want to throw out a series of statements just to see if anybody can guess these things, okay? If you're listening at home, I'm going to do 1 through 10, and you say Marx or the Bible. This is a wonderful thread that I found. Is it from Karl Marx or is it from the Bible? And we'll just see. I'm going to run down the list. You have your list at home and try and count how many either in your mind, either Marx or the Bible quotes. Count which one. I'll read them to you and we'll see what you guys think.
All right, I'm following along. Let's do it.
Number one, do not rob the poor.
Okay.
Number two, whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty.
Okay.
Number three, a righteous man knows the rights of the poor. A wicked man does not understand such knowledge.
All right.
Are not the rich ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? That's number four. Number five, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. Number six, sell your possessions and give to the needy.
And Brian is reading several passages, yep. And the question is it Marx or is it the Bible?
Marx or the Bible? give an Italian home. Number six, I just read, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Number seven, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Number eight, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. Number nine, keep your life free from love of money. And number 10, but woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. That's number 10. So at home, just think about how many of those 10 statements are either from Karl Marx or from the Bible. And
give us a call, 844-967-2789. Let us know which ones you think
we're going to take a phone call, and then I'll reveal the answer after our call. Let's listen to Angie in Monroe. How you doing, Angie?
Hey, hi. Well, I was just listening to you talk about the guys. Yeah, I'm actually a grandma, so I've already raised my kids. Talk about trying to get child support. And now I only got child support for one kid, and it cost me an arm and a leg to get that, to get the child support. But I never even got it. So I raised my kids, both of them, for, the whole time. And I worked 2 to 3 jobs the whole time. And I would even hear about other single moms that would get $25 payments a week for, you know, their child support. I mean, these courts really got to step it up then. I mean, what are these women going to do? We're going to have all these kids. I mean, because one or two kids, no. This is nothing like we've ever seen. People get pregnant just breathing the air.
Yeah,
sometimes
I have a friend. I have a friend who's been. I've known so many people who have had mistake kids, even though they have. I've had people have a kid. I've known people who've had kids when they had their tubes tied.
Yeah, that was always my biggest fear. And then, and like my daughter. My daughter's actually got a lot of health issues right now. And yeah, she's married, but if she would have a baby right now, that would be the most painful thing she would ever go through in her entire life. So she. As much as she would want a baby, she literally cannot have one right now, physically.
Yeah. A lot of people have no idea what they are going through. And thank you so much for sharing, Angie. I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
we got enough time for one more call here. Let me see. We have time. Again, thank you, Angie. I really appreciate your sharing. This is fantastic.
Yeah, appreciate your call, Angie.
Because nobody understands the actual situation, the reality of the situation that people are put in when these laws are made about them. That they just think of some fantasy in their mind that actually happens, which is different from the actual reality. Let's go to Greg in Waukesha, who has guesses on the 10 quotes I just read. Is it Karl Marx or is it the Bible? How you doing, Greg?
Hey, Brian and Luke, I'll be quick, but all 10 of those statements are from the Bible. And let me just say that I go to a Bible school in Waukesha, and I think if we took Jesus and the authors of the Bible at their words, we would be a lot better off. I think the Bible's definitely written, to people who are on the fringes, who are, you know, who need to hear the gospel, who need to hear hope. And
you know what, Greg, I got to agree with that sentiment, because when I studied the Bible and when I was brought up through Catholic school, and that's what I was taught as well. I was taught that Jesus taught to the the fringes, the people that were he hung out with, you know, lepers and prostitutes and things. But I got to tell you, Greg, and I appreciate your call and I appreciate your guess. You're absolutely wrong, man. Every single one of those quotes was Karl Marx. Every single one was Karl Marx. Most of the philosophy of Karl Marx pretty much echoes the philosophy of Jesus Christ. It's kind of amazing. And Greg, while I agree with your sentiment, that's kind of what happened, man. Well, he hung up. So, yeah. All right. Again, I don't understand how people of like minds can't come together and figure it out. But if you go and label everything as socialism or Marxism when you don't understand what the heck you're talking about, you walk right into it.
You do. Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We'll be back tomorrow at 2.
Roadhouse.